Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So a note to listeners before we begin, if you want to hear more Back to the Future chat, we did an episode for each of the three movies, and in those three episodes, we talk about every possible Back to the Future game except for this one, and those episodes are 304, 336, and 372, and they were all recorded during the pandemic. So we're in a great mood, but I think I was retreating to the things I really love during that time period, and I was watching all the movies again, watching all the commentaries, all the extras. So those are full of information, and I think they're a lot of fun, those episodes.
And now that you're happy and fulfilled and living with me, now you're returning to the things that you were lukewarm on.
Yes, like this video game?
Mm-hmm.
This is on the books for a very long time in terms of me wanting to cover it. And I think I've been talking with you about it for a few years, but it just so happens that this is going live like right around the 40th anniversary of the original Back to the Future film.
Yeah, and 2025 is referenced in this movie. I mean, not movie, this game.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, we can go into the story later, but there is like a temporal duplicate DeLorean that
right.
was sent to the year 2025.
Okay. And I think probably they had the 40th anniversary in mind. They're like, what? And basically any year that ends in a 5 or a 0 is going to be a Back to the Future anniversary.
Yeah, well, he says it was sent 70 years into the future to 2025, like within the universe of the game.
Hmm. And we haven't covered this fact already, but this game, Erased from Existence, it's been delisted. The remastered version is oddly expensive. If you can find a loose disc, if you can find a box copy, it's like hundreds of dollars. I found a copy on eBay that I bought for this for like $65 or $70. So they're really upcharging because this has been delisted. And the good news is that if you bought it from Steam or Telltale, you can download those all over again. And Telltale has been nice enough to honor all of the old purchases made through the old system. With something like this, if they won't let you buy it, I feel like it's within your rights to just go ahead and find it and play it. And then, like, donate money to Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's Foundation if you want to. Do it anyways. I mean, it's a good thing to donate to. But seek it out and you can find it somewhere. But as far as this day and time, you cannot actually buy it from any place unless you have purchased it before.
They should include it with like a Blu-ray set of the movies.
You know, weirdly enough, I don't think there's going to be a 40th anniversary Blu-ray or 4K. There has not been one announced, and it really would have been announced by now, unless it's about to be announced.
Maybe they're like, well, what else can we do with this?
I mean, I've bought like three of the sets that are released every 5 years, and mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of done. Maybe when we go to 8K in 10 years or something, I'll get that.
Well, now that the Back to the Future... the Broadway musical is gone now. Maybe they can add that.
So, yes, go find this game if you didn't buy it in the past. Or, you can also watch a playthrough on YouTube, which there's not a lot of puzzles in these games. You can see the direction Telltale was moving. We'll talk about that. But that is probably a good way to experience this. Do you agree, Nina? Would you recommend like a Let's Play would be a good way to watch this game, or a long play?
Yeah, I feel like unless you're like a humongous adventure game fan like we are, it's not worth it.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that as we get into the meat of the game. So I do want to talk about the origins of the Back to the Future game. So the last dedicated Back to the Future game before this was in 1993, and not even in America. That was Super Back to the Future 2, which is Another B-plus game, but it's probably the best game. No, no, it is the best game of that era. Do you know the Super Famicom one? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a very cute artwork.
Yeah.
Not even released here. That's insane.
Yeah,
it's
I guess
so long.
It's because it was 1993, but it's essentially just like a Sonic the Hedgehog-alike in its own way. And it's fine for what it is, but the bar is so low, it is the best one out there.
I forget. Does that go through the events of the first movie?
Just the second movie. It is just called Super Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
And that's it. But it's slightly inspired, but between 1993 and 2010, there was nothing. So 17 years. And nobody really cared about Back to the Future games because the other ones were so bad. And I'm sure there's like an Angry Video Game Nerd episode for all the Back to the Future games. And I think that's how a lot of people probably know these games, if you weren't young enough to actually have rented them or, God forbid, have bought one of them back in the day. So I do want to point out that a Back to the Future game made way after the trilogy wasn't a weird idea, because the mid to late aughts saw a handful of mostly mediocre games based on movies that weren't really new. So there were games based on Jaws, Scarface, Reservoir Dogs, The Godfather, a few others I'm forgetting. In fact, I just saw Reservoir Dogs for the first time. One of your favorite movies, Nina, right?
Oh, yeah. Or at least I thought it was until I rewatched it. I was like, oh, it's good, but not as amazing as I remembered it being.
Still very enjoyable, but there is a PS2 game, and we were having fun just kind of scrolling through the long play and seeing, like, oh, here's all of the scenes they didn't show you. It's like, I didn't know all these guys went through a tutorial mission.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, this was happening. So the idea of a Back to the Future game in the aughts wouldn't be crazy, but people would just buy these games for the licenses, and they ended up not being too great. But something started happening in the late aughts, and that something is that a few licensed games ended up being very good. So one of them was Batman Arkham Asylum in 2009. But more relevant to our topic is 2009's Ghostbusters, the video game, which was a kind of all right third-person shooter. But the important thing about it was it nailed the vibe of Ghostbusters, and it reunited almost everybody from the original cast, except for holdouts Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis. They brought in Alyssa Milano, and I forget who else, but essentially it was the Ghostbusters sequel we all wanted but never got. And then they made a bunch of Ghostbusters sequels that nobody really wanted.
And you just play some nobody in that game, right?
You play the most default white man ever created. and I think the guy they modeled that character after has a sense of humor, because they just wanted the most relatable white guy gamer man to enter the picture as one of the Ghostbusters pals. But you essentially play like a mute JRPG character in the Ghostbusters video game.
You can't customize this person in any way?
No, you cannot. You must be a white man in 1991.
Do you even see yourself in the game?
You do, yeah. He's just like a nondescript guy. I don't think he has any dialogue either.
He doesn't say anything.
I don't think he says he doesn't say anything or do anything. I take it you didn't play this one.
No.
It's like a B-minus game, but again, the bar was so low, but the important thing was it got the original crew back together. It's like the last time Harold Ramis got to play Egon because he unfortunately passed away. Bill Murray, famously difficult about everything he does, he returned to play Peter Venkman, and the reason why they didn't make a Ghostbusters movie with him until way too late is because he was a big holdout. He was being a jerk about it, and then he realized far too late, like, oh, this was fun. I shouldn't have been a jerk. And I think Bill Murray spends every night thinking that, as he's not allowed to make movies anymore.
Yeah, I didn't play that because I'm not like a big Ghostbusters fan or anything. But I also, I'm not interested in playing games based on movies in general because they do tend to be bad.
Yeah. And it's things like this that were changing people's mind, though. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I mean, Arkham Asylum wasn't related to a Batman movie or cartoon, but essentially it was like a spiritual sequel to the animated series with Kevin Conroy doing Batman and Mark Hamill doing the Joker. So it was like the first good Batman game in a very long time. So things were turning around. And I have no evidence that Telltale was inspired by this to go out and seek Back to the Future as a possible game, because they always lean into existing IP from their company's origins. One of their first games was a Law and Order adventure game, and then they did Bone, which was the only time that Bone was ever made into anything else outside of a comic.
I always forget about the Law and Order thing. I gotta look that up sometime.
They have a ton of Law and Order games.
Or maybe I should try to play one.
I don't know if those are delisted, but I have access to those if you want to play them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Have you played those?
I have never played any of them in my life, and I'm wondering if they're like Phoenix Wright or if they're like and clicky. But 2009, I think, made the licensed game viable again, at least critically. Because these two games are breaking down doors. And I think today, there aren't a lot of licensed games that aren't mobile games, but there are very good licensed games. And I think, and you saw me play a lot of this, Nina, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is the new high water mark, because
that looked great.
You could strip out Indiana Jones, it'd be a great game. And this, that game has the same magic trick as this game, in which they find the perfect impersonator for the guy who can't come back and do the voice.